The scripture reading for this morning is Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs has quite a bit to say about wisdom being passed on from parents to children. The entire chapter of Proverbs 31 exists because a mother faithfully passed truth on to her son. Please follow along as I read Proverbs 31 from the NIV Bible. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees, and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who were destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Well, Proverbs has quite a bit to say about wisdom being passed on from parents to children. So a mother's wisdom prepares her children for life. And this entire chapter that we have came via the mother of King Lemuel. Now, the unhappy report about King Lemuel is we have no idea who he was. We have some guesses, but they're guesses. He's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. But we nevertheless have this valuable information that was passed on to him from his mother. And it's included in our Bibles. Now, I should comment a little bit about that picture that was selected. Learning to ride a bike is an event that involves a mix of positive and negative instructions. And of course, this picture shows a very positive moment. You can imagine this mom saying, "You did it! Way to go! Good job!" You notice there's no training wheels in the picture, but it's obvious that there's been some training going on. And as you and I have learned, there are a lot of things to do and things not to do in order to safely ride a bike. I have one broken arm on my resume that goes along with riding a bike and then falling off of the bike. But a mother's wisdom can be applied to bike riding and to many other skills. There are warnings, and we have some rather significant warnings. Warnings for this royal son. You know, one of a parent's major roles is to help protect their children. Children just don't have very much discernment. They don't quickly identify danger. And so parents from a very early age are on the lookout. I remember one situation where my sister ate some ant poison. And I remember this very lonely feeling. I was sitting at the kitchen table. I must have been 4 years old or so, four or five. And all of a sudden, everybody left. And I'm still sitting there. Well, they ran over, scooped up my sister, and zoomed out the door and headed to the hospital, and they pumped her stomach out. Those kinds of things, they just happen just like that. Parents have to be on high alert at all times. Little ones have no idea that it's way more dangerous to come down than it is to climb up. They just don't realize that. They're making progress. They're going up. That applies to ladders, bunk beds, trees, even an upright piano. My wife went into one of the rooms here, I don't know, 30 years ago or something, and there were two toddlers on top of the upright piano. But coming back down sometimes doesn't go so good. And they don't realize that. So they need parents to be watching out for them. They have no idea that there are things that you should never put in your mouth. They have no idea about this invisible stuff called electricity that's in those sockets in the wall and how dangerous that can be. They don't realize that all clear liquids are not water. So parents have a major project on their hands just to keep an eye out because of the curiosity level and the lack of discernment of small children. Now, this case that we have here in Proverbs 31, the child is not a toddler anymore, not extremely young anymore. He's obviously older. But this mother wants her son to realize there are some significant dangers out there, and you need to know about this. You need to be on alert that you are not pulled into something that's going to do you in. I was here one day. This is probably 12, 14 years ago, something like that. I was in the office doing something. My daughter was along. She was doing some work on the computer. I had to leave, I think maybe to the post office. I don't remember exactly. Was in there, and I got a phone call. "Dad, you might want to come back here right away. There's a guy out here with a bicycle on the sidewalk, and it looks like he wants to jump off over the steps." So I came back as soon as I could. I got here, and sure enough, there's a kid out there with a stunt bike, and he's clear at the far end of that big wide sidewalk, and he's riding up towards there, and then he stops, And down below is what looks like a dad with a camera. It looks like they're planning for the ultimate photo op. So I thought, this is not good. Went right down there and talked to the man with the camera. And he quickly backed off. I mentioned that, you know, you might want to sign a waiver that we use here for people that play basketball in our building, just in case something goes wrong. Well, he saw the wisdom of not doing this. I think what happened is they drove up. There wasn't a car out there because I had left with the car. So they thought nobody was here, and they were going to try this. Probably the teenager talked his dad into it. But, yeah, it could have been just awful. Can you imagine the possible headlines? Teen breaks back on Grace Brethren steps. That'd be really nice on the front page, wouldn't it? Or young man dies in leap of faith. Or how about jumping Jehoshaphat? Anyway, we stayed off the front page. Nothing like that happened. But that parent could have really dropped the ball badly when his son needed to be warned that this probably is not a good idea to jump off of this thing. It's about, I'm guessing, 14 feet in length and about 7-8 feet in depth as you come off of there. And it didn't happen, and we're grateful. But usually, mothers and fathers are highly motivated to watch out for their children, to protect them. This is the way God wired them. And in this case, this son that we have before us in Proverbs 31, he was very likely much prayed for, much anticipated, and maybe mom even made a vow before he was born. You notice there in verse 2, "What, O my son, what, son of my womb, what, O son of my vows? What can I tell you? How can I help you? What can I pass on to you?" It might have been a case like Hannah, where Hannah prayed diligently for a long time about a son, and then when the Lord provided a son, not this Hannah, the Hannah of the Old Testament, that she made a vow and said, "I'm going to give this son to the Lord." It might have been that kind of a situation. But a mother's wisdom prepares her children for life. A mother's wisdom prepares her children by warning. And here is the first significant warning: the dangers of women. Now, obviously, this is not talking about every woman. This is a mom that was imparting this information. But there are some women that are to be avoided, that have evil intentions and are dangerous. Earlier in Proverbs in chapter 5, we have some information about such a person. "My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life, her ways are unstable, she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house." Danger alert. This person might look really attractive and wonderful to be with, but it's dangerous, potentially disastrous. And this is an area where mothers and fathers have the opportunity to guide and protect and warn their children. And we're in a time now where the danger is high. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. The danger back then was high, but the danger now is extremely high. The internet is extremely dangerous. I saw a statistic that in the year 2015, there were so many billion pornographic movies watched on the internet from one site. Billions of them. This came via a very reliable source, Dr. David Jeremiah. Other things that we know that are going on are just staggering. Child pornography is on the rise. And that used to be out there somewhere, way over there somewhere. Those perverts in the big cities somewhere. And we know a family personally whose son has been incarcerated. Not long ago, he was sentenced for this offense, child pornography. So it's not just over there in Chicago or New York or Los Angeles. It's spreading. Human trafficking is on the rise. It's estimated that over 300,000 children are forced into the sex trade every year in the USA alone. So there is danger, danger, danger. And it doesn't seem to matter at what age, you know, there's just danger. The parents need to be on the alert. And that's why this mother was warning and teaching her son about the dangers around him. And wise parents today will follow the example and help their children in this realm. Now, in addition to teaching and warning and protecting, there also needs to be the positive example of the blessing, the wonder of sexuality in marriage, in the right place. A husband and wife that are loving each other and affectionate to each other, that's a good thing. That's a good example. And it's a blessing. But when sexuality is perverted and in the wrong place, it's very, very dangerous and damaging. Well, this mother also warned about the dangers of strong drink in verses 4 to 7. Drink can be so dangerous because it dulls the mind and makes good judgment and discernment almost impossible. Some of the details about how it affects people are found in Proverbs 23. We'll take a look at that. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. It's just totally unable to control himself because he's being controlled by the drink. Pastor Ike told me years ago that there's a sequence here. First the man takes a drink, and then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. I shared this with some guys one time that had some involvement in their history, and they said, oh yeah, that's the way it goes. So this wise mother was warning her son about the danger of alcohol. And in this day that we live in, there's that danger, and then there's all kinds of other substances that are being pushed and promoted and used that are also very dangerous. A mother's wisdom will prepare her children for life by giving warnings. Well, she goes on. A mother's wisdom will also prepare her children for life by giving direction, giving some specific works. Now, that we just heard about some things you should avoid. You really shouldn't do this. You're going to be in a very, very dangerous situation. But now here's some things that you should do, some positive works, the works of a royal son. Well, one of them is to defend the voiceless. Notice in verse 8 that it depends on your translation. You have different ways that it gets translated. My translation says, open your mouth for the dumb. That's basically somebody that can't speak. That isn't referring to somebody that's lacking in intelligence. It's speaking about somebody that can't speak. They're unable to speak. They're voiceless. There's probably not a better example or a more horrendous example of a failure to defend the voiceless than this whole area of abortion. You talk about somebody that can't speak, they can't defend themselves, they are totally innocent and yet can't do anything. It's that unborn child. Now we're told in James that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So that would be defending the voiceless, not doing away with them. But for some reason, some of our people in positions of authority and decision-making are unable to comprehend the wickedness of killing voiceless, defenseless humans. That's what they should be doing. That's what King Lemuel's mother had urged him to do. Defend the defenseless, the voiceless, the weak, those that need help. Do that. And she went on to say, judge righteously. In verse 9, that phrase is used. Judge righteously, defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. Leaders need to bring godly judgment into the nation, and of course, that's not possible if leaders are being controlled by lust and strong drink and following after their own desires. It'll only happen when they're fully relying on God for wisdom to make decisions. Here's some more comments from elsewhere in Proverbs about the significance of things spoken and decided by the king. A divine decision is in the lips of the king, it tells us in Proverbs 16. His mouth should not err in judgment. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts. For a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. So a mother's wisdom prepares her children for life by giving some positive direction. And specifically, she gives positive direction in what qualities he should look for in a spouse. An excellent wife. Well, what does an excellent wife look like? She's about to explain that. I'm guessing it was about 10 or 12 years ago, I was doing some work in a house in Worcester, and about the second time I met the man of the house, he was talking in a very complimentary way about his wife, and he told me about these different things that she does and how helpful she is, and he ended his little explanation by saying, she's the Proverbs 31 wife. His gratitude was very evident. I hadn't known him very long, and he was telling me about how much he valued the many ways that she helped him and the rest of the family. So a mother's wisdom explains that an excellent wife is trustworthy. That's specifically spelled out for us in verses 10 and 11. Her husband completely trusts her. She's proven to be completely reliable. She's dedicated to following the Lord and helping her husband and family. You know, that's what God designed Eve and all her daughters to do, is to help. And at this time that we're living, That is not popular. It's not popular. 35 years ago, Nancy Lee DeMoss wrote something that I'm going to read to you. She's one that sticks with the book. She only in the last few years got married. So she wrote this long before she was married. But this was her observation. At the root, she says, of the feminist philosophy is the view that the woman exists to please and fulfill herself, that she is an independent being free to do as she pleases. But we must recognize that from her creation, the woman was made from the man, for the man, and given to the man to help him and meet his needs. By being a helper, the woman finds her greatest fulfillment because she's functioning as she was designed by God. And the bad news is that it's not popular right now. But it's what God's word supports. Well, this husband that is being mentioned here trusts his wife. She is trustworthy. And a mother's wisdom explains that to her son, that this is the kind of wife that you should be seeking. And a mother's wisdom also explains that an excellent wife is ambitious. Now, we have here a lot of details listed in this chapter about how this godly wife is caring for her husband and family. And really, the list is a little bit intimidating, a little bit overwhelming maybe, and in some cases, maybe a little bit depressing. If you look at that list and you say, that's a lot. That's really a lot. It sounds like she's barely sleeping. She's doing all these things. When you look through the list, well, we're going to do that here in just a moment, you'll notice that mainly it's all about the practical items of caring for a family, like food, clothing, just oversight of the household. So we're going to just zoom through that list one more time. You heard it read earlier. We're going to go through it again. This is verses 12 to 24 in Proverbs 31. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. That's a reference to either spinning or weaving, fabric related. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, I doubt that any of us that chose to wear purple today were thinking about that verse when we made that choice, but there it is. It happens. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Now this woman is just cruising through life, doing all this stuff, making it look easy, helping and encouraging and providing and showing love to those around her. It sounds like she's discovered that that's the ministry that God has for her. If we revisit the original creation, the first wife, Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." So this super queen described in Proverbs 31 is just living out God's role for her. As she does what God has designed her to do, that just provides more energy. She's learned that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and she can do all these different items, keep all these things functioning because she's following him. Well, a mother's wisdom also explains that an excellent wife is wise. That kind of almost goes without saying, I guess, but specifically mentions that here in the latter part of the chapter. She is wise. If you've got your Bibles open still there, look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. It's all about ministry. What can I do to help? What can I speak that will encourage? She speaks teaching with kindness. You probably remember those words of James, James chapter 3, that said the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You've probably noticed that it's so much easier to accept information if it's delivered with kindness. I had an experience years ago, and I've shared this a couple times probably, so forgive me if you're going to get bored with it, but I took Harry to the eye clinic, and when we were about to leave, we needed to reschedule for the next time we were going to come there, and I went to the lady at the desk, and I said, we're wondering if we could schedule these two visits, it's two different doctors, on the same day, so we could just do it in one trip. And she said, I'm so sorry, but this doctor only has this schedule and this doctor has this schedule, so we can't do that. But I'm so sorry. What can I say? You know, she was so sympathetic, so kind about it. You know, she could have said, no, can't do that. Sorry, it's impossible. Doesn't work. But I'm so sorry. It just completely diffused any harsh response I would have, because it was so kind, it was so thoughtful. And this wise mother is passing on to her son about a wise wife and how kindness is so involved. Probably my favorite verse about the kind of words that we should say, this applies to all of us. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. In the moment, that's when I usually drop the ball and say something sarcastic or harsh or flippant or something that's not helpful. But something in the need of the moment that gives grace to those that hear. That's the kind of words that are needed. A mother's wisdom explains that to her son. This is the kind of wife that you should be seeking. This wife is praiseworthy. The last four verses of the chapter, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Her children and her husband greatly appreciate her ministry. You know, a grateful father will have a tremendous impact on the children of the family. If they see him being grateful for all the many things that his wife does, they'll be quickly getting on board. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. We're told in Proverbs 14:1. Now, a mother's wisdom prepares her children for life by encouraging them towards a godly mate. Now, it's the perfect opportunity on this day, on Mother's Day, to follow the example of the children and the husband in those verses that we just read, and to thank and encourage and honor our moms. 30 years ago, on a Mother's Day, some of us stood up here and sang a song of thanks. Some of you might remember this. It's a little foggy in my memory, but it goes something like this. This is a special time. We call it Mother's Day. It's a good time to give thanks in our own unique way. Each mother is a gift God given from above, her kindness and compassion a picture of God's love. And then a little refrain that went, she's F-A-I-T-H-F-U-L, she's a faithful wife and mother, that's what we're here to tell, F-A-I-T-H-F-U-L. She's a faithful wife and mother. We love her all so well. But that's 30 years ago. I told Brother Dennis that. 30 years ago we did that. Time flies. A mother is an example often of how God loves. Paul used an analogy along those lines in 1 Thessalonians. When he says, we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become so very dear to us. So he used that motherly love as a standard of comparison. Now, the fact that you and I are alive today and we're here is a testimony to a loving, caring, protecting mother. A mother's wisdom prepares her children for life. A mother's wisdom prepares her children for life by giving warnings. A mother's wisdom prepares her children for life by giving positive direction. And a mother's wisdom provides for children encouragement towards a godly spouse. So thank God for your mother today.